Turn to the book of Matthew. How many of you believe that Jesus is all powerful, all majestic, all wise? He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnipotent. You all believe that? Do you believe he is God in the flesh, or was? You believe he is equal with God? Why then did he pray? A number of times in the Bible, it talks about Christ praying. And seemingly, I just want to look at a few verses. So we'll be skipping around somewhat. And to look at some reasons why Christ prayed, or we could say look at when Christ prayed, and you could add the why to that. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And so he is truly God, and he has all the characteristics of God. And yet we find that Jesus spent time often in prayer. And look at some reasons. So look at Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 36. I want to read down through verse number 39. And verse 39 is kind of what we're going to zero in on, although we'll be looking at several other verses surrounding that. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee." Who are the two sons of Zebedee? Who? Okay, James and John. Good. You get an A tonight. Okay. That's all right. You still get an A. "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And so, as I look at this portion of Scripture, I see Jesus prayed in a time of testing, a time of challenge, a time of, you might even say, temptation to bypass the cross. Now, I have a hard time believing that he actually was trying to bypass the cross. That was his purpose for coming. But he prayed at that particular time. And as you look at Christ and his ministry, you know, his ministry was not an easy ministry. You know, we often think about our ministry being difficult, and it can be at times. And yet I believe Christ's ministry was even more difficult. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Using the word own twice in that verse. The first one talks about he come unto his own territory or his own city, and the last one, his own people received him not. And you ever been rejected? You ever been to knocked on somebody's door, or you try to witness to somebody at a job, and they just reject you? And, you know, they're not really rejecting you, they're rejecting the Lord. And but Christ was rejected by his own people. And so his ministry in many ways was rejected. And he shows love and concern, care for others. And yet in the midst of that, they rejected him. And he had given himself sacrificially in service to those who he come in contact with. And before him lay rejection, hastily turning away from him, and so forth. And here we find that Jesus comes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He had been up in the upper room with his disciples. They made that walk from the upper room down into the Garden of Gethsemane. My wife and I had the privilege of walking that path a number of years ago. And, of course, I'm sure the path is much different now than it was then. They have set it up so it's comfortable for the tourists. But he made his way down in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I think I've mentioned it before, but I was curious when I went in the Garden of Gethsemane, where did Jesus pray? What part of the garden did he go to? Now, the garden, as we entered into it, it was kind of an L-shaped garden. And I can't help but believe maybe he went back in that back corner, because it said he went off a little further by himself, and he prayed, agonizing in the garden. It says that he fell on his face. That particular term speaks of his agonizing in prayer. As one individual said, that he put his face in the dust, and he prayed. In Hebrews chapter 5, and verse number 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, in that he had a real respect for his heavenly Father. But it says that he agonized in prayer. You know, it wasn't just for the people at that time, but I believe he was agonizing prayer for you and I. And he was praying for us. You know, Jesus was tempted, of course, when he went out, driven out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I believe this particular time could have been a temptation almost as strong as that particular time. And let me ask you again one of my stupid questions. How many of you here have ever been tempted? Well, a couple of hands went up, so I imagine there's been a couple of you. You know, we all have. We all face temptations. And in those times of temptation, what do? Do we try to work out all the details on ourselves, or do we follow the example of Christ, and we go to our Heavenly Father, and we pray, asking him to help us? And in the 42nd verse here in Matthew chapter 26. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And so he was not only facing a possible temptation, but he was wanting the will of God to be done in his life. And he prayed that God's will would be done. He accepted the cup, the will of God in his life. But, you know, Christ in his humanity felt the awful horror of bearing the sins of the world upon his own shoulders. As he went to the cross of Calvary, that was a heavy load. And we think of a number of victories that Christ had in his life. And I believe this is one of the greatest victories that Christ had, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he agonized over the sins of we lost sinners, and he surrendered to God's will, and went to the cross of Calvary. But he was submitting by prayer to God's will. And as he faced the agony of the cross, he also prayed. Look at verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I give you my will. There are so many things in the New Testament especially that I have a hard time really understanding. Of course, I realize I'm a little dense. But he being equal with God, and yet in his humanity surrendered totally to God and sought God's strength and wisdom in doing his business. And every one of us have probably asked the question at different times Is it worth it? Do I have to? Can I go on without it? We're involved in a service, and we become weary. And we are frustrated. And this is the Lord's challenge to Peter and to John to remember to pray. Look at verse 41 again. Watch and pray that you enter not into what? Temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Temptation is faceless on a daily basis. I might just turn it down to a hourly basis. And there are temptations constantly. And the Lord's challenge and the Lord's encouragement to us to watch and pray that you do not fall to that temptation. You know, as has often been said, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you fall to that temptation and yield to it. And we see in our own lives at times maybe an indifference, a matter of tempted to quit, to give up. But as Paul tells us in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And so, why did Jesus pray? When did Jesus pray? Well, when he was facing trials, temptations in his life. Look at Mark. That's right after Matthew. I have to remind myself. Mark chapter 1. Beginning with verse 32, we're going to read down to verse 35. At an evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. If you would read the surrounding context of these verses, you find that Jesus is very busy in ministry. In chapter 1 of Mark, verses 16 through 20, he chose his apostles. Disciples. In verses 21 through 28, he showed a power over the demons, a battle that he was entered into. In verses 29 through 31, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And in verses 32 through 39, he was preaching. And in verses 40 through 45, he healed a leper. And so he was very busy in ministry. And ministry can consume much of our time, and we can become sometimes over busy in ministry. And he was in his humanity, very busy, exhausting work. You take and think about those things that he was doing that we mentioned. And that was exhausting in work. And in the midst of all this busy ministry, Christ got alone to pray. Do we take time in the midst of our ministry to pray? Ask him for the added strength needed. To ask him for wisdom to handle the ministry in a way that would meet the need at a particular time. And so he prayed. You might almost say, Lord, Christ would say, Lord, protect me against exhaustion, burnout. Ministry takes strength. It takes physical strength, emotional strength. Sometimes I believe the emotional strength is more taxing than the physical strength. It takes a spiritual strength as well. In Mark chapter 5 and verse number 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And of course, I'm sure you recognize the story that this verse comes from, when a lady touched his garment, and she was healed from her problems or disease at that particular time. But it says virtue went out. And that word virtue there, it comes from the word in the original language, dunamis, power. That word that we get dynamite from. And so he says that power went out from him. And so it took some more of his strength. And he went aside. And that he could go to the source of renewed strength. And sometimes we need to simply get away and go to the source for renewed strength. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." But they that wait upon the Lord. And I can't help but believe that's what Christ is doing. He's waiting upon his Heavenly Father, asking for renewed strength to protect him at that time. But I believe there's even a more important time to pray. And that's in the midst of success in the ministry. You know, sometimes we stay closer to the Lord when things are tough. But when everything is going well, the church is growing and we're seeing souls saved and young Christians being edified and so forth. We sometimes kind of get to the point where we're not careful. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. We get like the old hen when she lays an egg, jumps up the edge of the nest and says, look what I did. Look what I did. And we say the same thing. And we need to be careful. And back in 1 Samuel, David, talking about David and how he behaved himself. And in 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 through and 7, and also 12 and 14, it says that he behaved himself wisely in the midst of success. And the Lord prayed in the midst of even success as well. And we need to do the same. In Proverbs, in chapter 30, and well, I guess I don't have it here. But Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, proverb of Agur, and a warning that we be careful, that we don't become careless in a time of success. So Christ prayed in a time of trials, time of temptations. He prayed in a time of successful good works that he did in his life, which Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 35 speaks of. And then thirdly, in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and verse 13. And as we look at these different verses tonight and these different reasons why Christ prayed, it's an example for you and I. It's a means of encouragement to you and I. But in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So he prayed all night long. Don't really say what time he went out, but it just says that he prayed all night. Now notice verse 13. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So before he chose his 12 disciples, 12 apostles, he spent all night long in prayer. And so I just entitled this prayed in time of decision. Again, just as we face a temptation every day of our life, we make decisions every day of our life. Every one of you will make a decision tomorrow. You'll probably make more than one. You'll decide whether you're going to get out of bed or not. You don't have to pray about that. Just do it. Okay. But decisions, important, life-changing decisions, especially in the ministry. Life-changing decisions, we have mostly more of an adult crowd here tonight. But you pray as to what college you're going to go to, who you're going to have as a life mate, who's going to accept you. And other decisions, where you're going to live, what house you're going to buy, and so forth. But mainly, pray asking God for his will. The decision of God's will. We looked at Matthew chapter 26 and verses 36 and 39 when Jesus is out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his decision was to follow the Lord, to do his will. But everyday decisions. There is not a day goes by but what you make a decision. What are the motives behind that decision? What is the purpose of that decision? What is the outcome or procedure of that decision? And so there is that time of decision. Jesus, before he made a very difficult, very important decision, spent all night praying. Do we take the time to pray before we make decisions? Or do we make a decision and then say, Lord, would you bless the decision I made? Usually when we do that, we get into trouble. And then just a few miscellaneous prayers. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, I won't read all these verses, but he prayed for children. Parents were bringing their children to Jesus for him to lay his hands on them and to pray for them. And there were those, even his disciples, who discouraged children from coming unto him. And he said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And so remember, we can pray for, of course, we as parents pray for our children. As a church family, we can pray for the young people in our church and so forth. And so we need to be praying for children. And then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, pray for those who oppose you. Jesus did that. In Luke chapter 6, verse 28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, bearing the sins of the world. And as he was there, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Pray for those who oppose you. If you pray hard enough, maybe they'll begin to have a certain respect. But Jesus prayed for those who opposed him as well. And that is simply intercessory prayer, which most of these, which we have discussed tonight, is true. In John chapter 17, verses 9, 15, and 20, Jesus again in his high priestly prayer. In verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. In verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I like that 20th verse. The 9th and the 15th verse almost speaks about those who were surrounding him at that time. But Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word. I believe that's me. I pray for them who put their faith and trust. And he prayed an intercessory prayer even on my behalf. And of course, we know how he prayed for Peter in Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32. But the Lord Jesus, being God in the flesh, being all-powerful, being all-wise, yet he prayed. He regarded the importance of prayer and prayed often. And he would often get alone to pray. And I share this with you tonight to be an encouragement. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he's seeing the importance of prayer. Wednesday nights, prayer time, when we corporately get together to pray. And I trust that this can be an encouragement to you. Let Jesus be our example and pray. All right. I'm sure Brother Eric